Blog Talk Radio. Hello, good evening, everyone. As you know, this is your host, Arlene Brown Mitchell, coming back at you live. And I have a special guest tonight that I'm going to introduce to you. But give me one moment to talk to you about what's going on with the weather, because everybody does that part. It's actually starting to snow here in New York. And, of course, you know it'll be slippery and everything like that. So for those of you who live in New York, I hope that you arrive home safely from work. And if you're shopping or anything like that, be very, very careful. Now, getting into our guest. Well, the guest tonight is Mr. Philip Brehren. He's an author, and he brings to the table a little something different tonight. Most authors that I interview usually talk to me about fantasy stories, you know, a lot of made-up things and stories along the lines of total fiction about things that sometimes they don't really know about but they like. But here tonight, author Philip Brehren actually has a passion to his stories, a passion to the books that he writes, some thought about, you know, things having to do with people. I think that's the best way I could say it, with mostly people in mind, not so much just getting money or anything like that, but mostly people in mind. So having said that, I want to introduce you to Mr. Philip Brehren. Hello, Philip. How are you?
Hello, Arlene. How are you?
I'm doing fine. As you know, I was telling them about the weather. I had to break that down to them real quick because it is going to be very, very slippery for the weekend over here in New York. I know that you're located in Georgia, right?
Yes. I'm located in Georgia where there's sunshine, oranges, watermelons, peaches, you know, good stuff.
Wow. Okay, yeah, it is that out there. I have a close friend that lives out there. She's more like a sister, and she's in Georgia. And, you know, she is always talking about how beautiful it is in, you know, where she is and stuff. But right now she said that there's some sleet and some snow and everything like that. So let me get right into the questions, okay? When did you know you wanted to become an author? I mean, you know, because for me, it started off a couple of years back after I had been through some bad breaks. What made you become an author?
Oh, sure, I would gladly answer. Before I answer that, I definitely want to give a shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I definitely want to give a shout out to, yes, I definitely want to give a shout out to my mother, Pastor Brehren, my sister, Regina Brehren. I also want to give a shout-out to all of my friends in New York City, which I'm from originally, and all my friends here in Georgia. And first of all, I definitely want to give a shout-out to you occasionally because, you know, I am on your show, which is a blessing. And I also want to give a shout-out to my friend and yours, the great Zen master, which I consider him the Don Cornelius, the Bobby Jones, and the Barry Gordy of his product, which is Jerry Ross, Live Worldwide.
Oh, I read about him. I read about him in the piece that you sent with the YouTube, actually. Yeah. Okay. I read about him.
Yes, Ms. Helene, I will say that he actually, I remember when I had done my first show with him, and, you know, he, you know, like one thing I can say about Jerry before I answer the question is that, you know, he reminded me, which I had to put him on the same pedestal as the Don Cornelius, the Bobby Jones, and also the Barry Gordy, which I call the GVE effect, which stands for Groom, Visionary, and Exposure. And, you know, just by doing the interview with him, you know, it really, really grew me into being, you know, more comfortable with doing shows, and I've always said that if it wasn't for him, you know, putting me on the platform by believing in what I was doing, not only for myself but for the whole entire universe, then there's no way I wouldn't have been able to understand this, the magnitude and the significant movement of what Talk Block Radio is all about. And, you know, I think he really, really grew me into, you know, this person, you know, that I am, you know, just to stay humble, stay on point, and to give, you know, audience like that's out there listening what they need to know. So I definitely want to put that out there, because since my mother is a pastor, she always said give respect to respect is due. So that was important to give everybody a shout out.
I understand that. I definitely understand that. Okay. As I was saying, I wanted to know, though, when did you know you wanted to become an author?
Well, I knew I wanted to become an author when the Lord had chose me, because if you read the scripture of Jeremiah, when he said, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb, so I knew you before you were ever conceived. So it kind of like talks to all of us about how the Lord pretty much knew what we all was going to do before we actually manifested into that that role. So I kind of knew it right then and there, because when I was in elementary school, which I tell a story all the time, I was I love writing, you know, letters. I love writing letters to superstars, recording artists, and I used to wind up collecting the autographed pictures from that. Was way back in the early 80s, and I think from there on, I really, really started to develop a skill in which I never knew I had, because when I used to write for the fun of it, and when I truly have nothing else to do, to evolve in my craft, I start to see that this was actually like a passion of mine. Because when you think about writing, you mostly think about an artist, where, you know, he has to have the canvas, he has to have a painting brush, and he has to have, you know, colors, because he's actually trying to portray to people that, you know, words tells a story. Words gives you pictures. When words make you think about things that you're not so accustomed to actually thinking about. So that's mostly where I actually developed, you know, my skill, because, you know, you really, really have to start off light. And then once you master that technique, then you can actually take it to a whole new level.
I agree with that. I definitely do. Because I know that when writing a book, you have to think of the person that's actually reading the book, you know, that from the words that you write, they can gather a picture in their heads as to what it is that's on that page, especially if you don't have illustration in the book. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. What would you say your specialty and style of writing is?
I would say, again, it comes along back to the visionary, because you just nailed it on the head, because, I go according to the biblical principle where it says in Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write the vision to make your plan. And I'm sure this happens all the time with screenwriters, you know, musicians, songwriters, whatever the case may be, because everything mostly starts from the imagination. You really, really have to see the clear picture about what you definitely want to put on paper, and if your imagination is actually articulating and the showing you the things that it really wants you to show you, then you have to take the information from the mind that you're trying to portray, put it on a piece of paper, and see when that's going to manifest with people and what you're trying to, you know, reach out. That's mostly what it comes to. You know, everything starts in the mind.
Right. Well, yeah, I could see what you're saying. I could definitely see what you're saying. Can you tell me this? What type of impact on people's lives are you trying to make with your books?
Well, you know, Arlene, you know, I'm happy you asked that question. I'm going to, you know, try to, you know, explain it the best way I know how.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not much of a news watcher, but you have to watch the news to try to figure out what's going on. We all know that no news is good news. And I really, really felt within my soul that the Lord had called me to do this book in this more turbulent time, because, you know, as I was talking to a friend earlier, and I was telling her that when you look at the weather and you look at how you can't tell the high from the cold and the cold from the high. And it's just letting us all know that we're all coming into what we call the end of the ages. And knowing that the world is continuously fading deeper and deeper within the dark side, which, you know, people, you know, it's like everything is actually gone totally out of control. And I felt that with this book, The Testimony Once Too Green, is it was going to give readers the assurance of, based upon what they have gone through, what they've experienced, to really, really equip them with the words of encouragement and rectifying that whenever they come up against either adversity, principalities, or whatever the case may be, then they will actually have the word of endearment to confront every situation. Because I remember the Lord had spoke to me a while back, and he actually, labeled me as the heroic messenger. And when you think about a hero, you think about a hero as an individual that actually goes out and put his or her life on line, but they fight for a reason and they fight for a cause. Me, on the other hand, is the opposite of that, meaning that I'm a hero that's actually there to deliver the words, which is like your reinforcements, which is your sword and your shield to combat whatever demonic spirits out there that's trying to devour and that's trying to destroy you left and right. So what I'm trying to do is allow my, which I call a people's book, is to put the world on notice that, you know, this is what you're going to need to get through whatever you're going through. It's kind of like a prayer call where, you know, I remember somebody was saying that, you know, prayer is actually going to be the answer to every situation. So I did it in the crucial time where I felt that the world needed to know that this is the appropriate time to start making adjustments instead of making excuses.
Hey, I like that. I like that. Coming from a place somewhat like that myself, I'm an intercessor. I know you know what that means. I pray on behalf of other people, you know, those who cannot pray for themselves. I've been doing that for years. I do understand that, you know, there's a certain time that, you know, people can't, they can't put like the pieces together of the things that are happening. I'm trying to think of a nice way to say things, to like get everything together out of what's happening on this planet at this particular time with so many things going wrong and, you know, people dealing with people shady and people killing people and just all kinds of other things. And then, you know, they need a voice. They do need a voice to follow. You know, they need to read. They need something that gives them encouragement. I understand that you associate that with, you know, like being hero-like. That is really a good way to put it, because they need many heroes in order to make it. They do. To say that, you know, people, they can all just figure it out. Some of them, yeah. Some of them, yeah, but some of them could use a little bit of a hand, a little bit of a guiding light, and that's where books and everything come in. So, yeah, I'm glad you're doing it. That's really, really nice. I'm really glad you're doing it. You're welcome. You're welcome. But we need a lot of people out there, you know, that are willing to take a hand and extend it out to someone else and to teach them if they need to be taught. You know, if they need to hear certain things or they need to see certain things, you know, it's good if it keeps them uplifted and it keeps them feeling like there's some sort of hope, you know. They need that, definitely.
Absolutely.
I commend you on what you're doing. I do want to ask you about because I read that you're a poet as well, right? I do want to ask you about the poetry contest that you entered. Like, how did you get into the first one?
Well, here's the thing. I remember I used to let people around Kings. I went to Brooklyn College, and before that, you know, I was in Kingsborough. And I remember, which I will say, well, people ask me, like, who inspired you to really, really write? And I will say, you know, God the Father, because He does gives us gifts to magnify not only Him, but to use our gifts that are actually unlocked doors that really, really need to be opened. So people have asked me, they said that, well, Philip, what you write is really, really good stuff, and have you ever thought about entering in poetry contests? And I really, really never thought about that, really, because, you know, when I used to write, you know, either for a hobby or just to, you know, evaluate, you know, where I am as an artist, you know, just to see, you know, based on what I'm doing, how will I be able to, you know, project or able to have what I'm trying to do to resonate with other people. So to make a long story short, I heard about, I was on online one time, and I remember just when I got down here in drugs, when I was in New York, I used to have my poems to be published in the Brooklyn College your newspaper, and I know people around campus going to love my work, which was a blessing. Well, I remember when I moved down here, you know, I went to this contest. It's called, I typed in a computer, it says poetry contest. So there was one poem in which I had submitted, and I think it was called White, which I had to find it. And I remember I said to myself, well, let me enter this this poem in the contest to see how it's going to react to the judge. Because believe it or not, Arlene, I had never done this in my whole life before. And in life, we have to really, really evaluate ourselves to see what are we really made, and guess what life was all about. And when I entered that, and when I entered in the poem into the contest, a couple of months, weeks later, or month, whatever case may be, we had received my first Editor's Choice Award from 2005, and that was during the poetry. I think it was called the poetry.com. I don't know where it is. No, matter of fact, it was called poetry.com then. I think it's called lulu.com. And I remember the editor had wrote me a letter and said they know the poem which you submitted, that they had really never seen nothing like that, which, you know, that was my first Editor's Choice Award in which I received. So I said to myself, okay, this is the first step. Now let me see 2 years from now if I can do it again. So I had submitted another poem, which I pretty much got the same result, which I got another Editor's Choice Award in 2007 from poetry.com. And then I started to expand my horizon. And I did that because I wanted to see, you know, how far I can go with this. Because what I want you to know, Arlene, I also want your audience to know this too, and it's so very, very important, that it's very, very important to really, really evaluate yourself as an artist to try to figure out what are you truly made of. And I think it's so important to have yourself to have judges or contestants to really, really evaluate your product to see whether it's going to resonate with the mainstream. Because, see, the judges is really there to prepare you for the criticism and to prepare you for the praises. And I said to myself that if I can receive awards from judges for these contests, then I know without a shadow of a doubt I could be able to reach the masses. So when I received my Editor's Choice Award in 2007, I also participated in this other award. It's called Famous Poet Society, where I entered in, God knows, a lot of poems. I have like 20 award-winning plaques from the organization. And they actually said that, and they actually said to Mr. Barry, you know, you have really, really, you know, brought something new. And, you know, they, again, same thing with poetry.com. I mean, we've never seen a title or anything of that caliber, because it's sort of something different. So I received the, you know, a certificate of excellence, which I have like five of them. I have numerous award-winning plaques for the Gold Seal of Excellence. And I also participated in this other contest. It's called the Ebron Wine Contest, where I actually have two award-winning plaques with the Ebron Wine symbol on it, you know, from the head editors. So, you know, again, that's how I mostly develop my own, you know, credibility, though, because it's just like when you were graduating from high school and from college, and when you go to apply for a job, you know, the position which you're working for, they're actually looking at closely when they're trying to qualifications to me what you're trying to do for their company, whatever the case may be. And I look at these awards as like my portfolio, because when you wind up showing the credentials and people, we all know that, you know, everybody is in line to try to apply for the same position what you're getting. And if you don't have a certain qualification which they're looking for, then 9 out of 10, they're not going to take you on. And that's why I felt that by me gathering all these awards is to show the readers out there, you know, that, you know, Philip Barron, he's really, really an upcoming artist, and he really, really has really established what he's trying to do. And I know people say, well, awards really don't mean anything, but I kind of like disagree to a certain extent, because awards to me is like your associate's degree and it's like your diploma. And if you don't have the credentials, especially to make it what you're trying to do, then you're not going to go as far. So, you know, by getting these awards, really, really evaluating me, which took me to a high new level because, again, it comes all back to the favorability. Then if you can make it with these judges, then you can probably make it with the mainstream because the judges really will decide whether or not you have the talent or not. So it's so important to really, really put yourself out there to see what you're made of.
Wow. That is definitely, definitely impressive. That's definitely impressive. I'd like to know, do you read other authors' books by any chance?
Not necessarily. You know, I don't. And, you know, the only, well, I will say this, the only, you know, books which I actually read, which God bless our soul, is, you know, like Maya Angelou, because, you know, I really, really mm-hmm. respect, you know, her work because I call her the mother of literature because she's kind of like, I'm kind of like on the same page as her where she can really, really tell stories when I actually write in the book because to me she is the book.
Yeah. The reason why I asked the question, that's good, by the way, it is. I asked the question because, you know, being an author, you want to make sure that we all support each other. You know, all of us authors that write, we want to support each other. And, you know, I read a lot of authors, not a lot now, but I used to read a lot of authors' books. Or like if someone sends me anything over by email or something like that, I will read excerpts and stuff out of their books and stuff just to show support for them. So that's the reason why I asked you the question, because I know it's like, you know, us authors, we are all in one community together and like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, you know, I kind of like see myself continuously doing the work of my father, because I believe that we're all here for a reason. We're all here to have a platform to continuously, you know, get the word, you know, out to people. Because I mean, you know, like as I said in the intro, that you know, there's a lot of people out there that's really, really hurting. And what I'm doing, I really, really take what I'm doing very, very seriously. Because you know, you can have the biggest name, and you can have the biggest credibility, but at the same time, it's not going to be able to transform over to those who are either being kicked out of their homes, who's either being abandoned, who's either living, you know, in boxes, eating out of garbage cans. And, you know, we really, really can't just focus on me, me, me. We have to focus on those who really, really aren't as fortunate. And what I wanted your audience to know, and I tell this to every, you know, interview that I did, that it's not so much about selling the best books, neither is about becoming the best-selling author. It's all it's all about getting the word out there to people who just need to know that God got their back. And Arlene, you know, you're from New York and I'm from New York, and you see stuff that's really, really, you know, going on. And like I said again, you know, how is my fame going to be able to help those who are unfortunate? I mean, it'd be selfish on my part, because there's so many people out there who are just aren't able to do the things that other people are doing. And that's why I love the scripture. I think it says in St. Luke where it says, much is given, much is required. So we're all are required to do what God has intended us to do. So the answer to the question, I kind of like see myself doing pretty much the same thing by continuously feeding people the word of hope, consistency, and endearment. That's definitely what they're going to need.
Wow. Well, I hope everyone heard that, because that definitely, if you're looking to make yourself, you know, follow a path, or I'm trying to find the right words because you have to be so careful when you talk, speaking on radio. But if you want to find a path, or if you want to think about your future, or if you just want to be a better person or do good things, it isn't hard. You have plenty of people out there still who you can follow, who do have great things to say, who do want to do good things. And it doesn't have to do with money. It doesn't have to hinge on money. It doesn't have to hinge on, you know, who did the best at this and who did the best at that. It could just be that someone can say a few words that can enhance your life. Those are the people definitely that you should follow. A person that they want to put out as much, make the trees grow, get the grass growing, you know, bring people together, all of those things. Those are the people definitely that you want to follow. And so you, Philip, are definitely one of those people that I'm talking about right now. You're one of those people that they can look at your stuff and follow, definitely. From all of these things that you're talking about tonight, if they check into all of that stuff, they'll see that that stuff can be accomplished, you know, by them if they go the right path, if they take a moment and stop and think, you know, nobody has to be left behind. It's like that reading program, No Child Left Behind. I believe in those type of things. I definitely believe in those type of things. I want to know, if you were starting over, right, if you had to go back to the beginning of everything, like before all of this happened, would you in fact still become an author?
Well, you know what, Ali, it really depends on my purpose, and it really, really depends on my ambition. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't go according to what I want. I go according to what the Heavenly Father wants, because, again, it comes back to what I was saying earlier about how he actually dictates to us what we need to be doing. So it's really, really being instructed by him. So I go according to what the Father wants.
Wow. That's kind of the first time I've ever heard that kind of answer. That was really nice. I like that.
Thank you.
I've never heard that answer before, I'm being totally honest with you. I always hear people say yes. For the most part, they always say yes. I would be doing this, you know, from the beginning and all of that. But, yeah, your answer was very, very different. Where do you see yourself heading now?
Say it again?
Where do you see yourself heading now?
Well, you know,
like you
know,
have
again,
you have this book out right now. Like, mm-hmm. what are you doing with this book? Like, are you doing talks, seminars? Where are you heading with this?
Well, like I'm doing now, I'm actually doing the blog, the radio, your interviews with Sheila. Plus I have another one at 8 o'clock with this other you know, amazing, you know, person who has no connections. And, you know, Arlene, you know, again, it comes really back to the favor of God, because, you know, God does things for a particular reason. And that's why I love in the scripture of Rome when he says, some are called, but a few were chosen. So, again, it comes back to me being obedient and doing the will of my Father, because it's all, because at the end of the day, it's going to be about him regardless of what we do and what we say.
Yeah. I understand. I do believe that. I definitely do believe that. Okay. Can you tell all the readers that are listening where to find all of your information?
Well, those who are listening out there in blog radio land, you can find me on Facebook, which I'm the beautiful, lovely Arlene World, which I would be so humbly honored if she would link my page to all of her followers. That way you guys will know what I'm doing. And you can also find my book on Amazon.com, and also available in the ebooks. It's on there too. And you can also mm-hmm. find me on, you know, Google, AOL, Bing, all of the social online websites, which is really, really a blessing to see my name featured on those different you know, search engines, which is a blessing. So that's mostly where everybody can find all of my information at.
Okay. You heard him, everyone. You can find him practically everywhere. Just put in his name, which is spelled, the last name is spelled B-E-R-R-I-A-N. first name Philip, and you should be able to find almost everything you need on him. Whatever you can't find, like he said, I'll be putting up links after this that you can actually click on and just go to, you know, those different places. And if you have a chance, do that. Do check out his works. He said he has an ebook, so that should be easily accessible when you go to Amazon and you can read up on little pieces. I know that because I have a book there, and people are able to open up the book and you're able to read like the first page of the book. So you'll be able to get a little bit of what he's writing about from the first page, which is pretty cool. It's pretty cool in itself. Do you have anything coming up, Philip, that you want them to know about?
Well, like I said, again, I have a show tonight at 8 o'clock, and the lady that's supposed to interview me, her name is Robin Median.
That you just said, but I meant like any shows on like YouTube or something like that, something you're presenting or anything like that, any videos?
The only video that I actually have up there is the service announcement from Jerry Roy. The interview in which I did with Lainey Bonita, and I also have the video trailer of the book itself. So those mostly actually the only, you know, presentations actually on YouTube. Like I said,
That's something for them to see.
All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in Philip Berrien, and they will see, you know, the service announcement, the book trailer, and the interview.
Oh, okay. So, Philip, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I really appreciate you stopping by and chatting with us about being an author and what it entails and the inspirations and everything like that. And I want to say to you, keep up the good work. Definitely, definitely don't stop helping people, whatever you do, because we need people that do that. Believe me, I was reading some stories today that just had me so shocked, but we could use more people that are out there reaching out to other people. So again, I want to thank you for being a guest tonight. And for the listeners out there, thank you for joining us. I really do appreciate you stopping by and spending this half an hour with us and just listening in and showing your support. Because we all know that that is very, very important when somebody is trying to really, really do something good, like Philip, as in helping people. And there are people that are listening to go ahead and spread the word around. So I want to say good night to everybody. And again, I want to say be very, very careful because of the weather. Good night, Philip. And I hope to be talking to you soon.
Thank you. Be blessed.
Okay. You be blessed as well.